And it is time to continue our Aloha Broadcast Park Week, in which we are recalling the past, and it's sort of like a high school reunion going on in here right now. We've got four people in the studio who were part of this station, I think, when I first came, or very close to the time when I came in 1986. Let me introduce, around the horn here, Mike Mitchell.
Good morning.
Faley Van.
Good morning.
Carol Mitchell.
Good morning.
You weren't Mitchell then, though.
I was Carol Ross.
Ross, that's right. And Rod Chambers.
Good morning.
Good morning to you each and every one. This is really weird, isn't it?
It's
super
strange.
Weird.
It is super like high school, though.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So come in nice and close to the mics when we're talking so we can
hear you. Salutamonte.
Not that close. All right. So let's let's start with Rod Chambers over here. Rod, I remember you and George Carl were the leaders of the sales department, I'm sure, when I started in 86, yeah?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
How long had you been working here before I came in 86?
Barry, I arrived in the summer of 81. And the way I recall that, and it's still very vivid, is I arrived the week of the Atlas Peak fire.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And the highlight for me was first day on the job here, and at that time, I bet probably the staff size here was maybe in 30. Plus people.
About,
I mean, it was
yeah.
a large staff.
Absolutely.
And the news team was led by Pat Stanley and Jay Getty.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to see the radio station, I mean, in full action, covering the various aspects of that fire. And I was incredibly impressed with just the commitment and the coverage. And I said, you know, as a local broadcaster, I could really appreciate just that level of commitment to localism, because mm-hmm. they couldn't get that content anywhere else. Mm-hmm. You know, George Carl out mm-hmm. on the scene, Tom out there, everybody, the whole staff.
Well, Milt,
was
remember
involved.
Milt was there too.
Yes, that's right.
And I can't remember Milt's last name.
Cook.
Milt Cook.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah. So they
so
were
the
all
three,
thank you.
The three
I
news guys, and that was full time.
That's right. So everybody was out there in some aspect covering the various aspects of that fire. It was a huge fire, but that was the week I arrived, so I remember it well.
Wow. That takes us back. There was a lot of memories about Atlas Peak during the fires mm-hmm. in 2017.
Yes, indeed.
So let's jump to Carol next here. Now, when did you come to Broadcast Park?
You know, Barry, I also came in 1986, and I missed the flood. I came in the fall,
mm-hmm.
and I was so excited to move here from Vail, Colorado, and because I was going to be close to my family in Walnut Creek. So, yeah, in 1986, it was interesting.
But you had background in radio.
I had worked at KVMT. VMT, Vail Mountain, KVMT in Vail.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was anxious, and I had already looked up in our, is it the SRDS or the, there's a mm-hmm. book, a radio. Mm-hmm. I had mm-hmm. looked up this station and had said, okay, that's where I'm going to work. And, lo and behold, I was lucky to be hired and be on the sales staff, which was a lot of fun. And I can honestly say, I looked forward to going to work every day. I actually enjoyed, it was like fun.
Mm.
I think also that we were very lucky because Faley came right after me, and we just kind of all clicked as a group, and we had, I think, the best team. I'm going to say we had the best team they ever had
I
here
agree.
At this station.
I agree
because
totally.
We were the best.
I think
yeah,
you're probably right.
It was a lot of fun. I had wonderful clients, and I look back on it as some of the my favorite thing I've done as far as a job ever.
So, Faley, you came then in 86,
yes. 87? Actually, we figured it out. I was in here in 87.
87.
The beginning of 87, mm-hmm. or March or so of 87.
Mm-hmm.
And I had just moved from Palo Alto up here to Napa and bought our house here. And wanted to go back to work, and I was interviewed by Rod and by George, and Rod really grilled me. I remember getting short with him in the end, like, you know, get it. Yes. And George just said, oh, come on in, come tomorrow to work. And I said, okay, but can I do this part-time? Never worked out. was always a big full-time
job. Wishful thinking.
I know. So, and I loved it as well, Carol. Was very excited to come to work every day.
I remember Bailey saying, these people are just like me.
Yes, she said, I finally found a job where everyone is like me.
Not sure what that means.
I know.
And they are like me.
Yeah, I know. We're all crazy.
So 81, 86, 87. Mike, when did you start?
I came in August of 82. It's very memorable because I actually was in Goodland, Kansas for 3 years prior to that in radio and television there. And I was hired, or was at least referred here, by Mike Savage, who worked with me back there, and he was the Double Talk host here at that point in time. He came out here originally as the program director for KVON, then got into sales, and then on-air work. And then when he moved into either the sales department or whatever the jump was for Mike, left a program director job for KVON, which I was not qualified for, but somehow got hired. And my office was this little closet down here that they've since built over. So there's no recollection of where I started here.
It's a very interesting, iconic building, really. And I always wondered, and I think Ron and Scott Young are coming along at 9 today. Dorothy Salmon Show, if I'm not mistaken. But I think, in looking at it in retrospect, that Tom Young was trying to build his little version of Mondavi Winery here, wasn't he?
It sure looked like it, didn't it?
I mean, the whole Spanish look of everything and the landscaping, and that's why it was called Broadcast Park, because it was such a nice, well-maintained facility.
It was fun. And when I got here from Goodland, Kansas, to come here to an open air, we just, the front door was wide open, and then the term do lunch was a biggie back then. We're going to do lunch, and that was a quite the sales technique.
But it wasn't three martinis, three chardonnays.
Yes, it was. It was usually at a trade. I think always at a trade.
Whatever happened to those good old trade cases? Do you still have any action?
We had a lot of fun. Fridays were no work Friday afternoons, that's for sure. Too many wines at those trades.
When you think back, and I know there's a tendency to sort of collapse a lot of years, together, and we weren't doing all these things at the same times, but you guys, the sales department and the programming side, we had a lot of, big projects that we would do. Remember those radio auctions?
Yes, absolutely. Loved them.
One of George Carl's big things for a while?
Yes.
Immense amount of work, immense amount of work to make a little bit of money. Fahley mentioned when we talked offline about the Best of Napa Valley project, which was an enormous...
And Barry and I started that actually.
In about 88?
I don't know the years, I just remember you came back from a trip and said, Fahley, I've heard about this wherever I was, and they were doing the Best of Memphis or something, and we need to do it here. And we did.
Yes, I remember you guys started that.
Yep. I think it's still, they're still working on it, aren't they?
Oh, it's morphed over into other, other people do that.
Oh, okay.
Have their best of lists. But we were the first one.
Yeah.
In Napa.
Yeah. We were very good.
Good concept.
Well, we also had the Wheel of Meat.
Wheel of Meat.
Yes! The Wheel of Meat.
We're trying to keep it classy.
That was George's thing, wasn't it? The Wheel of Meat.
Keep smiling.
George's things. But we never threw any turkeys out of planes. We salespeople really did.
Hey, we would have.
We had some great ideas. We did have the ugly car contest, and that was almost a disaster at the fair. Oh, my God.
Describe that a little bit. That promotion
Michael
was...
Michael was the big that, guy.
Well, I took a, Dave, we had a rep here named Dave Fields, and he came from, I think, Santa Rosa or whatever, but he had done this ugly car contest, and... In another, where he went out and sold a package to many, many different car repair people, and they started out. They got a junkyard Mustang, one of the original year Mustangs, and
it had been through
Rich
the
Newman. Rich Newman was big with that auto body repair, and So they, I mean, it was just a piece of garbage is what it was, and they had to haul it in here on a trailer. And so it went from it went from one of the one to the next and the next until, you know, we had a whole rebuilt Mustang, and we were going to give it away on KBYN and KVON at the fair. So it's all parked out there. It looks absolutely sharp. It was KVYN, and I'll tell you why. That because 99.3. So Don DeFeese had 99 winners, and we had supposedly 99 keys in the in the jar.
And, that was scary.
So
it's really
except
scary.
That I threw in when I threw in the real key with it, that made 100. Well, that's typically not going to be a problem, except we're down to two keys. Two keys. It's gone through everybody there. And I'm sweating now. I'm
going, we're all sweating.
Everyone's, because they've taken it and they've thrown their keys away and stuff like this.
Yeah,
so,
right.
I jumped
Mike had a full head of hair.
I jumped a lot higher than the guy who won it, because it was down to two keys. He picked one, and he opened the door of the car, and it opened.
You're telling me the 99th person of the 99?
The 99th,
yes.
And there was still one
key
in there.
Yes, can you believe it?
I wasn't there for this.
So. It was shocking.
I was sweating bullets.
We
would have had to redo the whole thing.
And everyone's standing around watching. And you just
like you said, they threw keys away. It was like,
I remember the ugly car contest because it was underway when I started here.
Right.
My first day on the job was June 1st of 86, and I was DJing on the Vine, the night shift. Mm-hmm. And so you had the promo cards to read and the contest, you know, information. I'm trying to figure out what the heck is going on with this thing.
Yeah.
Why are they giving away an ugly car, you know? And as time passed, you know, a few weeks later, they were looking for someone who would go drive the car from the one shop to the next shop, and I got tapped to do that one day.
Yeah.
And you talk about taking your life in your hands, you know? Couldn't hardly steer the thing, and it was rattling, and I thought,
it got better.
What a great prize for someone to win.
I know.
That was one of the big promotions that I remember because it was so scary in the end.
I'm not sure if I really don't listen to, honestly, I don't listen to like pop radio or, you know, rock stations or pop stations. I don't know if they still do the contesting that we used to do back in those days, but that was a big part of keeping everything going.
Yes, our vacation giveaway.
Vacation giveaway.
Oh my gosh, that was big. A lot of fun, too. Rod, you organized that mostly, didn't you?
Yeah, George started it, but I got involved in the trips. Of course, the client trips were the highlight.
Yeah. They were wonderful.
A lot of great memories.
Mm-hmm. Let me reset here. We're talking with four veterans of Broadcast Park from the good old days in the late 80s through, what, about the mid-90s?
I was
late
here the
90s?
Longest.
That's
I think
right.
It was about 97.
Okay.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Considerably longer.
With us here in the studio, Mike and Carol Mitchell, who ended up hooking up after working here. It's still panning out for you?
Oh, yeah. Okay. We're still together. It's about 27 years.
Talk with us tomorrow.
Rod Chambers and Faye Van are all here in the studio, and they all work together in our sales department, which at one time might have had how many total salespeople?
Eight or nine?
At the max. Yeah,
well, we had separate sales staffs in the 80s, one for the FM over here and the other team AM over
side,
in the other side of the building. Yeah,
imagine that. And then, like we were talking with Henry Mulak earlier, had three full-time news people back in those days. And I was talking with him about how this place was just constant activity, people coming and going, and the phones ringing, and the teletype, and it was just like a beehive of stuff.
Those were radio days.
Before cell phones, we were the center of attention, because if you wanted to know what was happening now, you know, the Associated Press wires going all day long, and that's how you got your news.
Yeah. Let's talk about George Carl for a minute, because, you know, a lot of people talk to me about doing the morning show, but George was doing the morning show with Ira and the other folks long before me, many, many years.
Yeah.
So, and all of you were hired by George and worked with George. Rod, why don't you lead off on that?
Yeah, where do you start with George? You know, he's just
the wheel of meat.
Awesome. Don't laugh.
Well,
around.
Yes, his outdoor show. He was the
outdoor.
Tom Steenstra of local.
Absolutely, yes. And, he did that for many, many years. And, you know, Guy Carl, his son, had carried that on, and not on radio, but in print, because he became a writer with the Register and kept that same concept. But George was, he was awesome. And he, I think he'd already been on the air maybe 20 years by the time I got here, 15, 20 years.
Late so, 60s.
I mean, I hate to use that word institution, but I think it could easily fit George here as the voice of Napa.
For sure.
That's, I don't think it's an understatement.
No, I don't know.
Everyone knew George Carl.
Just, and just a great, huge heart and a very compassionate, not only for the outdoors, but just for people in general. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I made a huge mark on me and the influence, and I got to learn so much in terms of, again, the value of localism. Between him and Tom. You know, Tom kept us out front out in the community. George kept us out front on air.
He very much encouraged being out social, joining Rotary, joining Kiwanis, taking part in it, leading them. So, yes.
So you're right, Barry. This was the hub in Napa, you know, in the valley. Just really was. And different, just a great vibe, huh?
It was. I remember when George first hired me, he took me to his coffee clutch. You know, the guys he met with for coffee downtown and showed me off, sort of, you know, this is my new sales girl. And then he took me to the bank to...
Napa National Bank.
No, it was downtown, and he introduced me to
Frank Riley.
That to Frank Riley, and so that was my first day, and I was really nervous because I was didn't know anybody, and so that was it was really sweet going to meet his little buddies down there that he had coffee with, and he was just a very kind of down home kind of person, and very just old radio person. Yeah. I mean, we all love George.
And he could sell ice to an Eskimo.
Yeah. I remember one day I was worried about – I'm a worrywart, so I was worried about, how am I going to do? Will I be successful? Will I succeed in this career? He gave me an envelope one day, and he said, this is my prediction for you and – 2 years or something like that. You can't open it, but when you open it, you have to see my prediction for you. And he was right. He was like, you will be here in your sales career at this point. And he predicted it. I think I opened it early, actually.
I'm sure you did. The day you walked
in. I was like, really? I have to know what he thinks, if he really believes in me.
No, but that was George completely.
Yes, it was.
Is he steered all of us,
yeah,
each in our own way, but he was bigger than life.
Yes, he was.
Bigger than life, and such a happy man. Mm-hmm. I miss
him.
I miss him, too.
But when when first day I was here, we went to do lunch at Bon Appetit. Which is now
Don
Giovanni's. Yeah. And Bon Appetit, I still remember the quiche and that spring salad that went with the quiche. I would order it every time, and I hated to see that restaurant go. Yeah. Oh, that was just wonderful.
It's one of the few decent restaurants in Napa.
Well, that's true.
Early days.
Because Up Valley was where you're supposed to go eat back in those days, as a general rule.
Yes, well, there was not much downtown.
And there was not much downtown. That was, it's sleepy is a good way to, to say that.
We need to take a little break here. We have this quartet of folks in our Aloha Broadcast Park segment for now, from our sales department. From the good old days, we've all decided those were the peak moments, so we're just going to stay with that. A break and then some news, and we'll be back. And in this portion of the program, we are featuring our Aloha Broadcast Park content, that is saying goodbye to this place. This place over here used to be over on the edge of town that is now kind of being surrounded by houses and the new snow school getting built. And within a couple of months, we expect this building will be knocked over and condos or apartments will be going up. It's kind of sad, huh?
It's very sad.
Yeah, lots of ghosts and memories around this building.
Did you ever see the original building, Barry? Before
the
before they? Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. No, I've seen a picture of it.
it's kind of plain Jane. Had no character. But after the renovation, and maybe is that if Tom in fact had that in mind, a kind of a winery theme, he certainly accomplished it. It was really so nice.
Let's talk a little bit about Tom Young. I remember when I came here, he was so proud of Napa. And he talked about, we have 200 wineries. He was so, you know, he would send all the new employees out on a trade account limo ride to a trade account lunch and you know, and wine tasting. Remember that?
Yeah, some trade wine.
Yeah. Well, yes, I didn't get that. Well, I know about the trade wine.
Well, fill us in.
But you know, we all worked with Tom, and you know, he was a legend in Napa, of course, and kind of. You know, doing pretty well before he came to Napa. He had a lot of very interesting things.
No, absolutely.
Talk about Tom a little bit. Anybody want to jump in?
Yeah, I do. I was here 4 months, and then quit for a year. And Tom asked me, "What? You know, why are you leaving?" I said, "Well, it's you. you just end everything." And then a year later, I realized him being into everything was a good deal. And so I was hired back at that point in time as just the front desk person and the...
at least he was forgiving.
But you had a bigger office.
Yeah, right. I have a bigger office now. And then... later on, I went from production, and then I was on air for a little bit, and then the computers came in to do the logs. So I started doing the logs by computer because I figured, well, I may as well do that. I mean, the computers are coming in. I better learn something as far as that's concerned. And then shortly after that, when they decided I wasn't good at that either, then they hired me in sales. I proved I couldn't do anything else.
You can't do anything else in radio, you get to do sales.
I was the one who told you you're not going to make it.
Yeah, right. Rod told me you won't make it, but we're going to give you a shot.
Yeah, he really wasn't a very good salesperson. I beat the pants off.
So talk a little bit about your favorite clients or your most memorable clients, because you guys were out there, you know, hitting the streets and bringing in the advertising dollars, and there was a lot of advertising on the station. I remember
there was
time periods when we were trying to squeeze in 2 more minutes per hour on the morning show, to get everybody on the air. Faye, who were your favorite clients?
Actually, well, Colonial Saddle, Gary Van Brocklin.
Gary and Carol.
Pulled that
them
name
too.
Out of your head.
Yeah. They were my favorite clients.
Yeah.
And I had a lot of interesting ones. There's no doubt about that. But I loved them. They came on all the VGAs with us, remember?
Vacation giveaways.
Yes, and I was a little sad when they closed their business here, Colonial Saddle, over in the River Park Shopping Center. Mm-hmm. And I don't know where they are now.
They had bought a home up at Lake Almanor, which is near Susanville, beautiful little resort area. And I maintained a relationship with them for a number of years after they left here and then kind of lost track of Gary and Carol. But great people.
Mike and I ran into them almost every time we come
to Napa,
it seems like. I'm on Facebook with them.
Somehow we ran into them.
And their best friends were the Drabinskys.
Yeah, Drabinskys.
Yes. They were great folks.
Loved them, too.
Yeah.
Great people to take on vacation giveaway. Yes. We were always going to the office, right? You know, in Mexico.
Oh, I remember the office.
Yeah. Who
else jumps out in your mind from the field days?
I've got one, but I want to hear Rod's first.
Yeah.
Are you talking about Miss Ann and
Maytag? Ann Maytag.
I'll let you take the ball around.
That's a vacation giveaway story, but I'm going to talk about my favorite client first. And that was my very first one because I had started, Rod finally allowed me to be in sales. And so. A guy comes in a motorcycle, he's got his helmet on, and he's dirty, and well, my apologies if he didn't think he was dirty, but at any rate, he says, I kind of want to, you know, get something on the radio. And then, so Rod, you know, being the sales manager, says, well, I'm going to let break in Mitchell on this one. So he introduces me to him, and I start talking to the guy, and he's mad. He's mad because in his cul-de-sac, he wants to park straight instead of, you know, parallel parking, and because you can get more people in there. He says, but the cops keep busting us. Now, the guy, it turns out, had written a software program, and he had a lot of bucks, which Rod obviously didn't know. And so I'm talking to him. I said, well, how mad are you? And he says, well, I'm pretty mad. I said, well, then you probably need the 256 commercial situation here.
Starting today.
Starting. And he says, I think I do. So we did something. Say, and I wrote it for him. He says, I thought the cops were supposed to, you know, help us and do this, but it seems they're more interested in just busting us. Well, that ran maybe three times before there was such an outcry. And he says, you know what? He calls me. He says, well, first off, we got Tom, and everybody was like, get that off the air. You know? But anyhow, he called and said, you know, they're not busting me anymore over here. And I said, well, it worked. Whoa. What do you want to do with the other 200 and some odd commercials? He said, I don't know. What do you want to do? I said, well, the Opera House was at that time just starting its fundraising. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, I think they'd like, you know, some help there. He says, okay, donate it to that. And that's the last we ever heard of
that's
that.
That's a great story, Michael.
That's a good story.
Mm-hmm. And I've never heard it before.
Radio really helped.
You know, back in a time when there were so few outlets for anything local, particularly, that one commercial running on the station, especially in the morning shows, would get a response.
A
I mean, you didn't have to run it 100 times. You run, you know, something's on the air, like, boom, people would react to it, and the phones would ring, and, you know, people would pop out of their offices and say, what was that? And
yes.
Very different time.
Yeah, and the fact is, Barry, you know, even today, in spite of the power of digital and social media, if the radio station is local, providing relevant content, you can run that same commercial today and get great
true.
Response.
That's a good point. So, you went on up to
gotta still stand up for radio.
Good for you. You and George Carl were partners in the station in Susanville that you still have.
We
right?
formed a partnership and put together a. We didn't have a whole lot of money amongst the two of us, so we had to put together a California corporation. Sierra Broadcasting Corp, and through that we sold stock that put together the initial seed money that allowed us to buy the combo, the AM/FM, up in Susanville, California. For those of you who don't know where Susanville is, which are probably most, it is 80 miles north of Reno, Nevada, up in northeast California, up in the Sierra. It's just beautiful up there. And so that's how we got into the call letters, KSUE and KJDX, 93JDX, a country and a news talk. Combo up there, and then we have a real popular website, web platform called SierraDailyNews.com. Yeah, George and I went up there, and you're right, Mike. I guess the Big Red replaced the taco stand, which was the trailer that we pulled up there behind George's Jeep Wagoneer.
Big Red.
And I'll never forget, we were taking it up I-5, that trailer, and we'd already repainted it, and it had on the back the world's most powerful radio stations, and the taillights were out. So I won't forget that.
It's funny.
I remember that when we first got Big Red to replace that trailer, we were talking in the sales meeting that I hated and was always late for every morning.
True.
Which is true. We were talking about what the name would be for that unit, and it was something like Mobile Broadcast Park, blah, blah, blah. And I said, what? It's Red. Why don't you just call it Big Red? And I had gone to the University of Oklahoma my freshman year in college, and I'm like, Big Red. You know, they're Big Red. Mm-hmm. So we named it Big Red. And that was a lot simpler than Mobile Broadcasting Unit.
For folks who don't remember or recall what being talked about, the Mobile Broadcast Studio, the original one was a pull-behind trailer, kind of rainbow painted with a sliding door, and we call that the taco wagon. I'm not sure. that was delightful to broadcast from. And then Big Red was such an improvement because it was roomy and air conditioned.
Yeah, it was a looked giant, like a big boombox. It was boombox. Cool.
And the first couple of years taking that thing out to fairs and places, man, it really drew a crowd.
Yeah,
and
it did.
It was a big marketing tool.
Yes,
right? You guys
it
all
was.
Got rich
whatever
off
happened
that, right?
To it, so I wonder.
I don't know what did happen to
well,
it.
Well, you took it up to Susanville, didn't you?
No,
no, he took just the trailer.
He
didn't take the
old trailer.
The
old wagon. Yeah, the one before
well,
Big Red.
I remember it sitting out here in the parking lot kind of rotting away. It got leaky and the roof leaked
oh,
and the rain got inside.
I think Mike Martindale found it.
It was essentially a stock trailer made out to look like a giant boombox.
Well, when we refer to our time as the best time, we actually have documentation because we won the first ever Crystal Award. Which was, I think that was 85.
National Association of Broadcast.
More
86.
Like 1990. Okay, 1990, I want to say.
No. Before that, because I was still here, and I wasn't here in 90.
88?
He was here in 88. He left 88. In 88.
Okay, all right. So anyhow, we...
Because it was shortly after I became the program director, Mike.
Oh, okay.
There we go.
You neglected that.
I think that's why we went for it, is because you were program director.
No, we went for it because Tom wanted it.
Yeah. In the old days of radio... small town radio like in Vail, people did a little of everything. Yep. I used to do some on-air, a lot of on-air ads when they need a female voice. I did the logs there in Vail because I answered the phone. Mm-hmm. Okay, now you can – then I ended up doing proposals for the sales department and a little of everything until I got into
You wear
sales.
A lot of hats.
You do.
They were trying to find something you were good at.
Yeah, that, I think that was true. They really never did until I got here and got in sales. Then it was like – okay, I'm good at something. Yeah. I think I was. Now, right, Rod? Yeah, I was good at sales, wasn't I? Was. Tell me. Say yes.
Yes, you were.
We kind of glossed over something that's pretty significant, I think, in the history of this period of time period we're talking about, the Mike Savage story.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, yes.
You mentioned Mike Savage's name. For those who don't remember...
He married to my ex-wife.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Just gets weird right away. This is not the Michael Savage who's on network radio today. It's a different guy. Mm-hmm. Used that name. But he was here when I came in 86 doing what, you, as you mentioned, was called Double Talk.
Double Talk,
which
right.
I always thought was the worst possible name for a talk show.
And Jane Myers was his co-host.
Right. And it had a legacy. It had been called that for a while because it was two people originally. Two people, Double Talk. And then I ended up having to use that name for all those years. I hated that name.
As one person.
Right. But... there was this whole story. Tell the story. You guys can tell the story. This guy, Mike Savage, very high profile.
Oh, yeah. Well, again, he came before me. We were together at KLOE in radio and television in Goodland, Kansas. And Mike was a young guy. He, big guy, always had a beard, always looked 10 years, maybe 15 years older than what he was, and was tall and had a commanding about and smart. Too smart, as it turned out, but he was very smart. And, you know, whatever he said with conviction. So took him a little further than he wanted to go. It was
speaking of convictions.
Yes. Speaking of convictions, yes. Mike got in some trouble there with the feds on a money
Ponzi.
I guess sort of a Ponzi scheme.
Ponzi scheme.
Yeah, right.
Something
but like he that. Wasn't the only one. Napa was famous for those type of things. Mm-hmm. Lynn Vest, you remember that one?
Yes.
Sure do.
And but anyhow, Mike did get in some trouble with that. He served his time. They're off having a great time, and he's written a book.
He's out now. 20 years.
Yeah. He is.
Yeah, he wrote a book. He became a minister.
Baptist minister in prison.
So he actually wrote a book, and that was something that he claimed that he had written a book back then.
Oh, yeah.
Was the reason why
he claimed
had
a lot
money.
Of things back then.
Yeah.
I mean, you gotta the big deal was people were promised if they made a $5,000 investment they'd make $10 million mm-hmm. in a very short period of time. Mm-hmm. And I always said that's smart. If he just kept it at $5,000, the judge would have said, so how much did you lose? $5,000. How much were you promised? $10 million. Get out of here.
You're too dumb to deserve justice.
Maybe, yes, but then he started taking more money. And
well, that's what...
But the story I have about that is I was on my way to work one morning, and he owned a big house up the hill from where I lived in Browns Valley.
Swan Manor.
I was going to say Swan.
Yeah. And
the one
so,
with the... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the guy that owns a radio station with his cell phone.
We turned our cell phones off. So anyway, I'm coming up Twin Oaks, and as I get up to Bumen at the top of Twin Oaks, I have to wait for this line of cars. Dark cars, mm-hmm. one mm-hmm. after, and we'd all
you
been we'd all been speculating that. Of course, I was very late for work that day, so it was probably about 9 o'clock, and so I'm waiting, and I'm like, I'm late for work, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I bet they're going to Savages, mm-hmm. and so I got to the station. I said, news! I think they're finally going to take him away because we had been speculating. Everyone knew something was going on.
Yeah, I had been visited by the deputy sheriffs and been interviewed back in the office back there over the whole deal. And like, what? What's going
How
on?
How much were you on?
Yeah, and the late Doug Ernst broke that story, and he had really worked hard to develop that story in the Register. Because, again, anybody who was on the air here had a pretty big profile in Napa. You couldn't be a private person and be on the radio in Napa at that time, and so everybody knew him, and his opinions were so out there that he generated a lot of attention.
He was sort of the Rush Limbaugh of the Napa Valley at that time.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A lot of water under the bridge, guys.
Let's don't forget our Spanish-speaking
listeners. Oh my gosh,
Lynn
my
Rojas
Delani.
Show.
Yeah. Yes.
Rojas was Sunday mornings, and that was all Spanish, I think 6, 8, and noon on Sundays. I think it's Lynn Rojas? Lynn or Rojas?
Bob and Roberto. Bob and Bob Jr.
Mm-hmm. We did have some black programming, but, of course, that really targeted. Because in those days, we didn't have all the Spanish, Hispanic radio around. You know.
Mm-hmm. Do you have Hispanic up in Susanville?
No.
No?
I remember when I took over being the program director for KVON, one of my greatest challenges was, how do I program direct a show in a language I don't speak? And I was like, I wonder what's going on. Somebody clue me in.
Good question.
Well, we were just about out of time. Any final thoughts?
I just echo your guys' thoughts, and I agree. It was just a very special moment in time, the 80s.
I think that's what we can all agree on. We just had a blast.
Just all
it
came
was,
together.
We
like
all
Carol
loved
said,
this
it
job.
Was it mm-hmm. was not like going to work.
No.
No. It's true.
And in my case, I probably didn't work. So.
No. No, not very much. I think he mostly went up Valley was his territory, so he got to know a lot of winery people and who had tennis courts, and this was, and as I'm down in Vallejo, tromping around getting shot at, honest to goodness, I had just been putting a remote together in that big shopping center down there, and
my
I
Costco.
Get in my car and I get to the red light, and there's been a shooting in the shopping center. They're pulling bullets out of the big and plump store or whatever it is, and the rounders. Yeah. And I was just in that store.
I don't think there's a big and plump.
No, it's not called big and plump.
Something like that.
But I would like my last comment, Barry, is just, I think it's very exciting. We have ownership, you do, and leadership with a vision to take these stations back into a very great position.
Yeah. I agree.
Similar, hopefully, to what we all enjoyed here.
And speaking of which, they just walked in here in the lobby, Will and Julissa Marcencia.
These stations can be an incredible force in the community here.
And we always wanted them, right, Rod?
Absolutely.
So when we get moved into our spiffy new place, you'll have to come back and check it out.
Oh, Barry, thank you so much.
That was for having us.
Thank you, Barry.
Thank you. Aloha Broadcast Park Week underway.